We're here with Deion Thomas, former Illini great, who is going to help us preview the Bragging Rights game on Saturday at Missouri. Deion, you have obviously a unique experience. You played in the Bragging Rights game, and you've covered it for a long time. What are your thoughts on this game?
Well, I mean, of course, this is one of those games that really comes down to toughness. It comes down to scrappiness and not making mistakes. I mean, it's always a hard-fought game. Of course, you know, Missouri has multiple players that feel that they should have been Fighting Illini players. So, of course, they're taking this game personally the way they have. I think our guys have learned how important this game is. So, I think it's going to come out and be – it's going to be a slobber knocker. It's going to be a really rough and tumble game with everyone trying to prove themselves.
Do you think that they have so many guys from the St. Louis area who kind of have that divided loyalty between Missouri and Illinois? Do you think maybe the Chicago guys don't get it until they actually experience it?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, when you – I think this is one of the best rivalries in college basketball. Let me start off by saying that first and foremost. I don't believe it gets enough recognition that it should. And – when I was coming up, of course, these games were broadcasted on television all the time. It was normally really hot and contested. So I knew, and I know other guys in my era knew how important this game was. If you look back over the years, both Missouri were down, Illinois was down. So it wasn't covered as much in the media. It wasn't as important. A lot of the importance had been taken out of it. So, yes, I think the younger guys from Chicago just didn't know or didn't recognize what this game means. And you are right. You know, you have guys that are in the area down there that know in that central Illinois area, Missouri area, that really get what this game is about. And I think it was a learning experience over the last couple of years for most of the guys that were on the team.
Deion, you mentioned that it was a learning experience. And this year the group is a lot older. You know, you got a couple of veteran guys on the team, and, you know, Missouri is a lot better than what people thought they were going to be. I mean, I watched them play on TV last night. You know, do you think Illinois has what it takes to go on a road? They were on a neutral site in Indianapolis, and then obviously they were at Duke the other night. You know, but this is kind of the third road game. Do you think they're mature enough to go on the road to get this W?
I think no doubt in my mind that they're mature, that they have matured enough. I think what they learned in that Baylor game, what they learned about themselves in this previous game versus Duke, I think in the Baylor game, let's go back even further than the Baylor game. Let's go back to Ohio when we were at home. I think we were looking past people. We were starting to believe the hype that, you know, we are this team and we're already arrived and that people are going to lay down. I think Ohio showed us that they're not going to lay down, or show them that they're, you know, people aren't going to lay down, that you're going to get everyone's best. So we win this game. We take a few lessons for there. We go into the Baylor game. Now we're playing against Baylor with four extremely good guards that are, you know, they're old. As Coach called them, they're old. So they have experience. They've been through the wars. They understand what things that need to be done to win. And they showed us that we didn't know at that time. I know Coach and those guys went back to practice and worked their tails off on getting an understanding of what needed to be done and what you had to jump on teams from the beginning. They did that in the Duke game, even though Duke, and we knew they were going to fight and come back, they never let them back really into the game where they would have control. So I think those lessons are lessons learned from Ohio, from Baylor, from Duke, and that gives me confidence to feel that they'll be able to go into Columbus, of course, with very few fans, so, you know, so they don't have that intimidation factor as if it's an actual road game. You know, it's almost like a neutral court with the limited people that are going to be available in there.
Deion, one of the great things about this game every year played in St. Louis was the crowd. I mean, half of the arena is gold and black. The other half of the arena is orange and blue, and it's just electric in the arena. How do you think this is going to be different on Saturday? Is that going to play a factor in how the game turns out?
Well, no, I don't think it'll have a factor. I think it takes away A lot of that home court advantage that you would think that they would have with this game being played in Columbus, which I believe is a plus for Illinois. I mean, we are a better team than what we were last year. They are playing better than they than people thought they would say play, as Kendrick said. But I feel think that we're the better team. I think we have more to offer. Our guys are old just like their guys are, so they've been in the system. They understand what's going on. But I think if you look at our players, in my opinion, we have better players. So now where does it come from then? Now you got to measure that thing that's in your chest and how hard you want to come out and play. And he who makes the fewest mistakes in this game will win. And that's just the bottom line.
You talking about mistakes. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bradley.
Deion, you've seen this team play now every game. What have you learned about them through these first five games that maybe you didn't know going into the season? You know, obviously question marks about 3-point shooting. They're shooting 40. They're like third in the country in 3-point shooting. But what have you seen that maybe that are good and bad so far through five games?
Well, I can tell you this. I wasn't concerned about the 3-point shooting because I saw the people that they recruited. I knew what they had on their roster. I knew the guys that were working. Of course, you know, had a little bit of, you know, a few conversations with guys. So I knew what Ayo was doing and how his shooting had improved. So the 3-point shooting really wasn't a surprise. Now, the one that did surprise me, I have to say, is Demonte. But even talking to his high school coach, whom he worked out with back at home, he told me how well he was shooting the ball. And he said to me, Deion, you're going to be surprised at how well he's shooting the ball. And I have to say, I was. And I love what he's doing. But we all know that's the work ethic that he put in. But you ask, what have I learned about this team? And this is probably the obvious choice, but it's the truth. Ayo Dosunmu has stepped his game up, not just on the offensive end or on the defensive end, but when you look at and see the leadership that he has taken and the leadership position that he has taken, that is a big step. And I think that is one of the things that has moved not just himself, but this team into the upper echelon of teams in the country. Now, one of the things that, I say is still a little concerning, and not so much, I shouldn't say concerning, because I think that's a bad word to use, but I want to see more from Kofi. I know Kofi has more. These last couple of days, especially in the Duke game, you know, finishing around the rim, you know, there's been a few mistakes and a few issues. And I think that's something, again, he hasn't been playing very long, so he is still so raw and learning the game. But that's what happens when you play so well that you're freshman of the year in the Big Ten. People expect more. And I know he expects more for himself, and I know that he's going to get better throughout the year. And it really starts with his feet. As strong as Kofi is, you know, if you play with a narrow base, I don't care how big you are, people can push you around because you lose that power. And the minute he gets comfortable with playing with a wider base and finishing around the basket with power, then this team will skyrocket even higher than what they are. And I know that's going to happen. So those are, I guess, two of the things, and I picked the two major guys that are on the team. But I guess another thing that I'm excited about, I had an idea that our freshmen would be really good. I did not know how good Curbelo would be, because the point guard position is the hardest position on the basketball court. I mean, you're the quarterback out there, and this dude is making it look like he's a sophomore or junior, or, you know, besides some of the silly mistakes, which he'll get once he slows down and the game slows down. He has been probably the biggest surprise for me, and it's a pleasant surprise because he's going to play a huge role this year.
Deion, let me ask you, you talked about all those guys. The one guy that I'm kind of surprised about, that I'm struggling with, and maybe you can help us out with this, is Trent. Trent is a much better shooter when he just catches and shoots it. And when you go back to the Baylor game, he got a shot blocked once, then he's pump faking, then you get the turnovers. But when he played against Duke the other night, when he got the ball, and when he got the ball from Ayo, or whether it be from Curbelo, when he didn't have to think about it and second-guess himself, he's a better shooter. And I think, looking at all the things that we've all talked about, and which is the obvious, they're a better team when he's scoring and making those plays like that. And I don't understand what's happened to him, you know, maybe because the ball's not in his hands as much and he was that go-to guy when he was younger. He didn't have to sit and think about it because he was on his scoring option. But when he doesn't have to think about it, he doesn't turn the ball over and he's a much better shooter. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with it. I mean, the only thing is where I see Trent have problems is, like you said, when Trent starts thinking instead of just playing. He is a very instinctive player. He's a great shooter. Trent misses shots when Trent's feet aren't set. If Trent can get the ball and get himself gathered and get his feet set, whether it's coming off of a screen or it's a pop back or something like that, then Trent is almost going to be money, you know, 40% of the time. I mean, the kid has a knack. He has a knack to score. And he doesn't have to look to make baskets. If he's looking to make baskets, meaning he's forcing the issue, then that causes a little bit of a problem for him. But when he lets it come to him, which I'm sure he recognizes this, I know the coaches recognize it, he just has to relax and just play the game. But you mentioned Baylor. Baylor's going to cause problems for a ton of people. I don't care who they're playing. Because they're not just very good defensively on ball. They do an excellent job of team defense. I don't know if Illinois will face another team that defends the way they do. I mean, and that's including playing in the Big Ten. I mean, Baylor and Gonzaga, in my opinion, are heads and shoulders above everyone else. And, I mean, I know Iowa's playing great. I know, you know, we're playing extremely well. But Baylor and Gonzaga are two special teams right now, and everyone is trying to catch up to them. So I don't worry about Trent, especially playing in that Baylor game. I think he will definitely find his rhythm and find his positioning. With Illinois, and one of the things that I believe hurts Illinois sometimes is when we get stagnant or when the ball is on the floor a lot, when we're not playing at Brad Underwood's pace. When we're playing with pace, Trent is better. With Andre Cabrillo on the floor and allowing Trent to play more of that two position, he will be better because then he doesn't have to be concerned about that. But I'm not worried about Trent at all. I think Trent's doing a great job on the defensive end. I think he will definitely be able to find himself in his rhythm on the offensive end because he's just too good of an offensive scorer.
Deion, you mentioned defense, you know, the Baylor defense, and we saw that firsthand how they closed up gaps so well, able to get out on shooters. But Missouri's also a very good defensive team. Kwanza Martin has always had quality defensive teams. It's one of those things that his teams are known for. Do you feel like the Baylor game will help prepare Illinois for a really what would be a stingy defense for Missouri?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Every lesson that – you know, they ran into Ohio, I thought was a pretty good defensive team, really smart, understood how to play gaps and get in position. Then you had Baylor, who was longer, athletic, more experienced, more physical. So you have those two teams that were, you know, some of the best in the country at what they do. So them running up against this very good, and you're right, I mean, let's look at where Kwanza played. He played at East St. Louis. You remember their coach. If you didn't play defense, you didn't play. Then he went and played for Gene Katie over at Purdue. You don't play defense, you don't play. So you know he's a defensive-minded coach, and that is not going to change, you know, throughout the history of his coaching career. So they're going to come out there, and, yes, they're going to play extremely hard on defense. But this is where Illinois has to continue to be aggressive but be smart. They have to have more ball movement instead of dribbling the basketball, because if you dribble the basketball, anyone can defend you because then all five people can slide in your direction. But when the ball is moving, there were five or six plays down the floor in that Duke game where it was some of the best basketball and what we call a hockey assist. And then, you know, you guys down there love them St. Louis Blues down there. I'm more of a Blackhawks fan, but you know the old hockey assist. You hit one guy, then he's the one that passes the ball to the guy that makes the score. The more hockey assists that Illinois has in this Missouri game, the better they're going to be. So they're going to have to move the ball, but yet be aggressive and then not get settled and have to play against Mizzou in the half court. Get the ball off the glass, get it up the floor quickly, and play in transition. And that's where Andre Cabello is at his best. That's where Io is definitely in at his best. And when those guys can run the wings and get themselves set up, and then those two can definitely find anyone when they're out there on the floor. So, yeah, they'll be ready for this one.
Dion, so now we're going to put you on the spot here. Dion, what are you predicting? What do you expect to see on Saturday?
Well, I mean, I believe Illinois is the better team. I think from top to bottom, we are the better team. So I'm looking, it's definitely going to be close. It's going to be a dogfight. It'll definitely be, in my opinion, I believe, a single-digit game. I would pick Illinois by 5.
You have to pick one player for Illinois who you thought would be the X factor. To me, it's Georgie. Who do you think that guy would be for Illinois?
Well, you should have been a coach. I should have stayed a coach instead of a great journalist, because the better Georgie plays, you know, the better he plays, the further we go. I mean, because I think he is that X factor that gives us the ability to play big. He also gives us the ability to play small because of his skill level. So when he's playing like he has these last couple of games, he's not thinking. He's playing more instinctual. He's filling the basket. And, of course, Georgie always brings his intensity, his energy. If he continues to do that, we're going to be really good. But I also have to throw in Demonte. You know, people have to defend Demonte now. And when you have to defend him, he opens the floor probably without doing a whole lot more than what he's doing for other people. I mean, Demonte has, and you know this, he's always in the right place at the right time. And what this guy has been doing on the offensive glass and what he's been doing defensively, those two guys are huge X factors for how far we're going to go this year.
Hey, Dion, I got one more for you, then we'll let you go. And thanks again for joining us. But one thing that's really stuck out to me is watching Brad Underwood coach this team. He has a lot of confidence and a lot of calm and patience with this team. And I think he knows that he's got a really good basketball team. And can you comment on what changes have you seen in him as a coach since that first year he was here at Illinois and where he's at now?
Well, you know, and I would agree with you first and foremost. Let me say that, Doug. I think he's more comfortable with the team. He knows, like you said, he knows he has quality players. He knows he's had a quality system. But it was all about from first year to year four now, the guys learning what it was that he wanted, how he wanted it done, and at what intensity. So now he has that, and he has the comfort with his guys that are on the floor. So you can kind of, I won't say take your foot off the gas, because, you know, Brad Underwood will never take his foot off the gas. But when you can bring guys over, and you've seen this, explain to them, you know, what's going on and they get it, or better yet, when they're coming over to the sideline and they already get it, then that's when you know you've reached that point. And another thing is, if you watch when they're in the huddles or when they're coming over to the huddles, even if someone's sitting on the bench, you have a player that's coming out and talking to the player that made the mistake or made the error or that missed a position in the play. So that takes a little bit of pressure off of the head coaches. When your players are policing themselves, you've reached a certain point. And that's what I've seen a lot of this year. And I think that has given coach a little bit of a leeway to maybe take a centimeter of a step back.
All right. Well, unless Brad or Kedrick have a parting shot for you, I think that does it for us. Thanks again, Dion Thomas, for joining us today. Illinois' all-time leading scorer. You can't get a better guy to help us out. So,
Doug, my pleasure, man. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Dion. Appreciate you.
Thanks, buddy.